Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
Now, yesterday, if you're watching the news, President of the US, Donald Trump, was walking out of the White House. He was on the lawn, and there's obviously people that cover the White House. And he was headed towards, I think, the chopper.
Yeah.
So they spoke to him about the situation going on between Israel and Iran, and this is what he had to say.
They violated, but Israel violated it too. Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
So first of all, I've never heard a president use the F word. I've never, ever heard that in my life.
But I don't have Trump, guys.
But he's right this time. And this is the thing, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you've got to intervene between two people, like a conflict, you've got to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that work out for you?
It depends on how receptive the people are. But which is something that he says, Wuti, we agreed. And then an hour later, you're doing something that is totally opposed to what we agreed on. So I can sort of understand his frustration, because when two people come to you and say, we need you to intervene in this because we are trying to sort it out amongst ourselves and we are not finding middle ground. Maybe having a third person there will sort things out. He's tried to do that. And then they go off and they do their own thing. So
have you heard the term kipaningani?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, men lusa, right? Lusa is to look after cattle. Nyahamba nesitawini, obviously all boys, lusinko mazagini. It's just a whole lot of boys around. And usually, kucwasana is to disrespect each other. Kwarana even, you know? Light work. But at some point, because of natural selection, somebody may take it to a certain point and somebody may feel like, okay, now I've got to prove where the hierarchy is.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, you go, gents, Zindala zombie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you guys are both of age. Let's prove now.
Once and for all.
At that point, I can guarantee you they'll never fight again. Because the person who got beaten understands you got beaten. He will always be subservient. He's a pelalap. Whereas if you keep breaking up the fight before it happens, then they keep testing each other, right? Because sometimes you got to let things happen all the way to the end and then be like, ha. That's one example. Another example is in 2008, when Barack Obama took over the presidency, right? There was an economic meltdown in the U.S. So he took over and he hadn't even been sworn in yet, actually. But he immediately got to work. And the person who was the Secretary of Finance at the time was Ben Bernanke. No, the Fed Chair was Ben Bernanke, right? Mm-hmm. And Ben Bernanke had studied the Great Depression. That's actually what he studied when he went to go study economics. And so very quickly, they put in measures in place that saved the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they saved the U.S. economy from another depression, I don't think people appreciated how bad things could have gotten.
Mm.
Sometimes you literally have to let people get down to rock bottom and then go, "Nyabonage," and only then come in and start rebuilding. Because if you stop it before it gets to its worst state, they never appreciate your intervention and what you saved them from.
You know, that example makes sense, but bro, there's lives and people. So you can't really allow one country to get flattened before, you know, saying, okay, now are you done fighting or let's find a way to live peacefully and exist? Because there's honestly innocent people who are going to lose their lives.
But Israel has been taking innocent lives.
Mm.
Ish, yeah.
For years.
And it makes it to a point where this is going to sound very inhumane. But when Israel was getting bombed last week, as much as innocent people were dying, I was like, hey, man, you've been doing it to Gaza for the last 2 years. In fact, longer than that.
Mm.
You know, Sizwe, for me, I'm still stuck on the intervention, where it comes from. Because if we're going to say we've got an intervening party, can we start by saying you need to be a neutral mediator? Trump should respectfully hang his head in shame, honestly, here. Because he was clearly on the side of Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel bombs Iran. They don't adduce any form of evidence to say that they actually have a nuclear weapons program that is underway. We had even the International Atomic Energy Agency unable to confirm that it is actually underway, instead of just raising concerns around the uranium. Now, Trump, knowing that there was no evidence adduced, he then goes on to strike as well. And then after that, you're the person that must bring people to the table to negotiate, put together a ceasefire, and then you say to Iran, you cannot avenge, we're stopping the fight now. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to create Iran to be the aggressor here, that citizens will say, look, there's a ceasefire, and they continue. They wiped out their scientists.
So I'm not going to be the person to defend Trump, but this was not a Trump stance. This is a U.S. stance. The U.S. has always been pro-Israel. And they've been anti-Iran for the longest time that I can remember. Even when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was still prime minister of Iran, right? And this was, again, during the Obama administration.
But Obama put together a nuclear deal in 2015. When Trump came in, what does he do? He walks away from that nuclear deal. He says it was the stupidest deal that they ever came up with. But Obama had stated that there is a commitment from Iran that they would never entertain any form of nuclear weapons program. There was a deal on the table that they walked away from.
Yeah, but the U.S. has always defended Israel, even when Israel was clearly wrong. So that's always been a U.S. stance. Yes, it may have been, obviously, because Trump is the president now. He needs to carry out the stance of the U.S. But to just solely blame this on him is also being a bit disingenuous.
But let's not say he's a mediator or an intervening party. He's an ally of Israel. So he doesn't get to walk around his lawn and say, these two don't listen. How does Iran listen to you when you've already picked a side? You've both struck Iran.
So who better, again, to intervene in this matter? Because I can tell you, Israel isn't going to listen to anybody else.
No, the UN Security Council.
Oh, UN. The UN is dead. Let's also be honest. Come on, man. The UN is dead. Those guys, nobody's listening to those guys. Everybody's pulling out of the accord. There's nothing about the UN that they can enforce now.
But, I mean, we can't say, though, Trump would be a legitimate mediator here. He struck Iran.
Give us a shout and let us know. Have you ever been in a situation where you yourself had to mediate in a conflict? How did it work out for you?
Being a middle child of five girls, guys, my job is to mediate. And one thing I've learned growing up is that you never pick sides, because these people are going to work it out and then you're going to be in the middle of it and they'll be like, you are the cause of 1, 2, 3. So no. I learned from my sisters, I do not mediate nothing. So if two people want to do what they want to do and they ask me to mediate, I stay out of that. Angizi lapo.
Shab Mubulawa, I saw that yesterday he came to visit Google and Kaya Biz, by the way.
Put them on the niggas in that zombie. I went on about Katrabanga Funugla Lela, maybe Katrabanga Funugla Lela, Lom Talan Jimilabat, doubling in Palma Boy 2, about charging in Palma Boy 2, so that by the words of Salapas, but to be limited.
Ah, guys, Trump should just sit this one out, man. I want to lend about your kuza. I'm not in your kuza, I mean, I have big song, I give him down.
That's funny.
I am 40 years plus. Ukala wami nje ukhlani phanje nginkathi ze PSC Katlonga se Fort Lawrence. I remember these countries, Israel, Iran, Iraq and what so what, they were fighting. Even namanje, even today, they're still fighting. I'm asking myself, kuti kanti yabo iyoziphele nini? Then kani yabo ayipheli mina?
I know, I hear a conversation about this Trump situation in Iran. But however, Sizwe, you can't say, oh, see, these people must just fight it out. Also remember, there are people on the ground who are innocent, just like Swal has mentioned. And another thing, there are people who are around that region. And due to proximity, if it really, really goes like full-on blowout, do you know the catastrophe it will cause the people who are not really in the region directly, but who are in the surrounding regions? You know, the impact is going to be massive. It's the same as the Russia-Ukraine war, you know? I mean, some of us are in Central Europe And as much as we're not part of the war itself, but we felt some kind of impact because of the gas situation, because of the flood situation. And just in the region was tense for a moment, you know. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, you didn't even need to be in Europe, actually, to feel the impact. Everybody felt the impacts globally. Supply chains were disturbed, so all of those things.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on this one. Sometimes got to let it out. Let them fight it out so that they both respect each other post the fight. And more often than not, the aggressor thinks they're stronger than they really are. So when the aggressor and the victim, or not the victim, the what would you call it, the defender in this instance, they need to fight each other out, and the aggressor will know that the other party can throw punches as well, and very strong blows. And then they'll learn to respect each other. The hierarchy will be set, but they'll respect each other. But for as long as you intervene, the aggressor will always think that they can do as they wish when they wish.
Yeah. So again, let's go back to Russia and Ukraine. Do you remember everybody thought Russia would be done with Ukraine in a week? Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long has it been?
Yeah, it's been years now.
Exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm obviously not saying we should just let nations fight it out, because as you heard from the previous voice note, there is collateral damage, and Saul pointed that out as well. But when it comes to individuals, sometimes you have to.
My thoughts on this, if two people come together and they said, can you please intervene in this situation? Then for me, it shows two things. One, humility, and as one, second will be pride about being put down. So in that instance, I would intervene and want to resolve any issues that the two might be having, because I mean, they've come to me. It's not like I went to them. So there's a willingness that shows that they want to change, or they want to stop what they are doing. So in that case, and only in that case, I would want to intervene. But if awang bizanga, then I wouldn't intervene as much until they've come to a point where they see their wrongs and they would want somebody else to come and assist them in the situation.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? Because I was just watching one of Mike Tyson's old videos. It was at a weigh-in, and people used to want to test Mike Tyson at a weigh-in, and he'd have an outburst, right? He's obviously grown a lot older now, he's a lot wiser, and I think he's gone to therapy. One of the things Mike Tyson speaks about is how he doesn't like the warrior in him. He refers to that guy as a beast. He himself is scared of letting that guy out, right? And so when you have somebody who is an aggressor, as you heard from the previous voice notes, and that person comes to somebody else and they say, hey, man, please intervene. It's sometimes not even as a sign of weakness. It's not because that person is scared, or maybe they are scared, but they're not scared of the battle or the outcome. They're scared of themselves and what they are going to do when it comes to that. So you must always listen carefully and, I guess, act accordingly.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.